Welcome back. And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Francesca, who is back. Francesca Fiorentini.
Hey.
Fantastic Monday. How's it going?
This is the, I'm good. I'm amazing. Let's just start off by doing something silly because it's a fantastic Monday. Hell effing yeah. So good to be back here. You know, I'm just excited to get away from being like a gas station for milk for my child and just, you know, talk about Nazis again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Enough of this sort of like adorable little baby, like bling, 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 so cute. No. Okay, baby, let's talk about Nazis. All right.
I didn't know bling, bling was the sound that breastfeeding made.
That's their eyes. Bling, bling. Love
you know
me.
What? What? I think you could do both. I think you should continue talking about Nazis while raising your child.
To my baby, yeah.
Yes, she needs to be warned. Anyway, yes, a lot has changed since last you were here. We had midterms, you had a human, mm-hmm. and we got some runoffs coming up soon. Thanksgiving has gone by. It was a very eventful period that you took off.
Yeah, I know. And yet, I feel like there's a little bit more light at the end of the tunnel. You know how there's no light at the end of the tunnel in this country? Mm-hmm. I feel like someone just kind of like, someone just sort of like axe picked a little bit of a, like there's a little sliver.
Yeah.
After the midterms, I'm feeling a little bit more hopeful. Cause like before the midterms, it was like, well, Marjorie Taylor Greene's gonna be Trump's running mate and Republicans are gonna sweep. And
it
now,
could seem that way.
And now it's still bad. But yeah, it's good to be here again and throwing down with everybody. And I wanna take this opportunity to remind y'all that I also have a podcast, a show that I stream live every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, called The Bituation Room. It's at Franny Fio on YouTube and Twitch. You guys should check it out. John's gonna be on later in the year. I mean, before the year ends.
Like almost the Christmas episode, I think. Sort of.
I think we have to wear ugly Christmas sweaters to celebrate.
I think I will. I have one actually. Well, anyway, we're glad to have you here, everyone. Definitely check out the Bituation Room. We're gonna dive into a lot of different topics here, and it's gonna be weird since you've been gone for so long. You know, it's weird. You took this time off, and like there was some good political news. Like the red wave didn't really materialize, and now it's looking more like Carrie Lake will be the VP pick. Maybe. I remember the last time I had a significant amount of time where I wasn't commenting on the news was when I was in the Arctic filming True North, and that was in the like fire and fury days of Trump and North Korea. So like when I went onto this sailing vessel and like went off for weeks and couldn't contact anyone, like in the back of my mind, I was thinking possibility that we get nuked during that time. And I only find out about it a week and a half later. So thankfully this period went better.
You're like, I'm gonna be the last man on earth. What shall I do? I'll grow a beard now and I'll be beard guy. That's point number one.
It'll
you
protect
did great,
me.
John.
Thank you. Anyway, we do have a lot that we're gonna be talking about today and we're gonna be jumping into it in just a second. So in advance of that, please hit the like button and share the stream so that people know that we're live. And more importantly, that Francesca Fiorentini is alive right
barely.
Now. Barely. And if you wanna send us any comments, tweets, super chats, I see a lot of Francesca emojis in the chat. We will respond as we go. But with all that said, Francesca, are you ready to start the show?
I mean, honestly, I have to because like she's due for a feeding very soon. So okay.
We're gonna try to rush this thing. We're gonna speed run the news. Okay?
Yeah, please.
10 seconds go. Let's do it. Most people spent the Thanksgiving holiday with family and friends or maybe Nazis. I don't know what you chose to do, but Donald Trump over there, he had a weird holiday. He had Kanye West over for dinner and he had this guy, Nick Fuentes, who seems to exist only to make modern day Nazis look as ridiculous and ineffable as possible. Mm-hmm. But anyway, as a result of that dinner, he's now embroiled in what his team is calling an effing nightmare, which look, you know, aides for politicians can freak out about scandals. It takes a special sort of scandal to make Trump's team worried. I mean, every day for him is something ridiculous. But no, he's already distancing himself from Kanye West and Nick Fuentes for that pre-Thanksgiving dinner, saying he didn't know the identity of the far-right activist who was brought along with the rapper, but we're gonna have some little fact checks on that. But anyway, he said on Truth Social, this past week, Kanye West called me to have dinner at Mar-a-Lago. Shortly thereafter, he unexpectedly showed up with three of his friends whom I knew nothing about. Which first of all, like, it's just as weird as all of this is from the point of view of Donald Trump. What is Kanye West's life? Like, it is the day or two leading up to Thanksgiving. He ostensibly has friends. He must have family. No, he's totally free to just jet down to a dinner they're saying he wasn't invited to, hanging out with a person who despises black people more than anyone in the world. And that's what his holidays are. So like, we're gonna get to more of Trump's denial of all of this because he's trying to do some damage control for once. But just what has become of Kanye West? What a sad, like him and Elon Musk are really doing a lot of work every day to make sure that we know that having enough money is good, but having lots of money isn't necessarily all it's cracked up to be. What do you think, Francesca?
It's enough money to go to therapy on, you know, something that so many people in this country struggle with. So many people's healthcare plans don't include mental health care. You can't find a therapist. You gotta wait for months and months and months. No, these billionaires will not go to therapy. They just want to rage tweet through every single blunder, every single foot and mouth moment, every single incredibly anti-Semitic, I don't know, just like hill they want to die on, which is basically what Kanye has been doing lately. I want to know though, like, what did they eat at this Thanksgiving dinner? You know what I'm saying? And like, were we doing mashed potatoes and sweet, I mean, yams both together? Who cooked? Why did no one bring a blanket full of smallpox to kill the other and honor the very first Thanksgiving? You know what I'm saying? Just like, these are the questions that run through someone's mind. The one thing you can say though is this was obviously not really a politically awkward Thanksgiving, because for the first time they, like, the whole family all agrees that, you know, I don't know, immigrants bring disease or something. like, right? There wasn't any political disagreement, or was there?
Yeah, it's so weird when like everyone around the country is arguing like in favor of Trump, but at Trump's Thanksgiving, he's the kind of reasonable one in comparison to the people who've party crashed his
there
party.
Goes my crazy cousin Kanye's coming over.
By the way, like, what do you mean unexpectedly showed up at Mar-a-Lago? Was it like the door not locked? Like, this is a former president of the United States. He has security. Like, he has his own private security. Mar-a-Lago as a club has security. There's like, I'm assuming they get some sort of lingering security from having been president, but just anyone can walk in.
John, we've seen this happen multiple times. I'm sorry. Like, that's like the layer on top of the fact that he had all those private documents is that multiple times people have breached Mar-a-Lago very easily. My guess is this was not planned. Yeah. I'm gonna say they ordered out from like an Applebee's or what's a good, like what serves like a good Thanksgiving, like like a Cracker Barrel. Yes, they order from a Cracker Barrel, extra gravy, all that. Like, this was not planned. This was like, I'm headed over, and of course he knew who was gonna be there.
Well, I don't know. I honestly, at this point, it kind of seems like Trump is the least bad of this group, but I wanna maybe challenge that as we go forward. Trump is still trying to explain why it is that he had this ridiculous dinner with Kanye West and someone even more anti-Semitic than Kanye West. He bleated, yay, formerly known as Kanye West. Look, if you're gonna acknowledge that, just say his name. Like, I'm not gonna call him that. I'm gonna call him Kanye West because F him. But why do you say both? Was asking me for advice concerning some of his difficulties, in particular having to do with his business. We also discussed, to a lesser extent, politics, where I told him he should definitely not run for president. Any voters you may have should vote for Trump. Anyway, we got along great. He expressed no anti-Semitism, and I appreciate and I appreciate all the nice things he said about me on, in quotation marks, Tucker Carlson. Why wouldn't I agree to meet? Also, I didn't know Nick Fuentes. He was a coffee man or whatever. Like, I don't know who he is. He's just an intern, right? Like, he expressed no anti-Semitism, and I don't know that Nick guy.
Is he gonna just like hashtag no homo at the end of it for like, I'm sorry, but that's exactly what it is. Like that is like he just hashtagged no anti-Semitism. Hashtag no anti-Semitism, hashtag not racist, hashtag love Jews, hashtag daughter married a Jew. Like just also no idea who Nick Fuentes was. And you can't prove that I was definitely at my home on 9/11, had nothing to do with it. what else are you confessing to by saying you didn't do it? So good. Can we just say that I just have to appreciate the bleats are so much better than the tweets. I feel like he's really hit his stride, just sort of in the diction and the eloquence.
Mm-hmm. Very eloquent. Well, we can't say whether he knew who Nick Fuentes was, but we do know a little bit about their interactions. A source familiar with the dinner conversation told Axios that Trump, quote, seemed very taken with Fuentes. Impressed that the 24-year-old was able to rattle off statistics and recall speeches dating back to his 2016 campaign. It wasn't that long ago, geez. Anyway, paraphrasing the conversation, the source said Fuentes told the president he preferred him to be authentic. And what do you think he means when he says authentic? And that Trump seemed scripted and unlike himself during his recent 2024 campaign announcement speech. Trump responded, "You like it better when I just speak off the cuff," the source said. Fuentes replied that he did, calling Trump an amazing president when he was unrestrained. Oof. There was a lot of fawning back and forth. Trump at one point said, "I really like this guy. He gets me." By the way, I'm not playing Kanye West's video about what happened at the thing, but he basically confirmed that that's how the conversation went down. And like, I'm not interested in showing you a bunch of Nick Fuentes or whatever. The dude barely has an audience. He doesn't deserve a bigger audience, but just to give you an idea of who he is. On October 17th, Right Wing Watch quoted him as going on a rant against Jewish people, telling them to get the F out of America. You serve the devil, you serve Satan. I piss on your, like your Talmud, the holy book of that faith. And this is like, he loves screaming the N word on his show. He talks constantly about how black people commit all of the crimes. They're all illiterate. Like he absolutely despises black people. Honestly, Candace Owens seems like a reasonable friend now for Kanye to have in comparison to this guy. I don't get any of it. I don't know how much I care to get any of it, but I will say that Trump's presidential bid is off to a great start.
Mm-hmm. Also, Nick Fuentes, if he gets within 5 feet of a vagina, he goes into anaphylactic shock.
Yep.
So that also happens.
Concept of it. Yep.
He is allergic to women.
So Trump, I guess, is not just now content to distance himself from Nick Fuentes. He's also concerned about, oh wait, apparently Kanye West has got some negative connotations. So he bleated out, "So I help a seriously troubled man who just happens to be black." What? Who has been decimated.
Not saying I'm a hero, but I have helped the inner city youth.
I'm helping him.
One in particular, no longer a youth, no longer living in the inner city, very rich, in fact.
He's always been good to me by allowing his request for a meeting at Mar-a-Lago alone so that I can give him very much needed, in quotation marks. He shows up with three people, two of which I didn't know. The other a political person who I haven't seen in years. I told him don't run for office, a total waste of time, can't win. Fake news went crazy. Well, I mean, look, I don't know if it's fair to say that they went crazy, but let's take it as a given that they went crazy. Is it understandable to maybe go crazy that you are meeting with a guy who has been going from one explicitly anti-Semitic remark to the next and you are hanging out with a literal Nazi, that these are the people that you apparently just bring into your home with literally no vetting whatsoever? And that's if we're trusting that he doesn't know who Nick Fuentes is. Mm-hmm. He's a right wing goon. That is Trump's actual circle. That is his actual bubble. I don't know for sure if he knew who it was or not, but I do know that this is the loose approach that he's taking to his own personal security and to his image when he's already got enough anti-Semitism flowing around in his own past.
I mean, it's I am not surprised. This just, it makes total sense. And the whole like advisors are worried, like, yeah, whichever advisors are still left after everything, right? After January 6th, like we're scraping the barrel here. I mean, where's Rudy? You know, get some semblance of order in this presidential run, right? Ivanka's out. Like the one who made him re-record all of his apologies on January 6th to tell everyone to, you know, stop, or the 7th, or whenever he pretended to apologize. I'm not surprised at this. The only thing I'm surprised about is that he didn't know who Nick Fuentes was. Of course he knows who Nick Fuentes was. And also the other thing is, like, why are we surprised when you have Paul Gosar and Marjorie Taylor Greene? These are representatives, current representatives, who've spoken at Nick Fuentes' America First PAC or whatever the F it's called, right? Yeah. Like they constantly meet with these people. They are also white nationalists, right? They, everything that comes out of their mouth proves that. We don't throw around the word Nazi lightly in the year 2022. So yeah, I am totally not surprised. I think it's surprising that, and I think the media is so desperate to find some like, and the Republicans are so desperate to be like, is this it? Maybe this is it. Are we all jumping ship? Should we? I'll jump if you jump, but I'm not jumping. Oh, I didn't say you. Are you? I'm scared.
Well, look, we've given him a chance to respond. You can make of that what you want. There's the aides again are saying it's an effing nightmare. If people are looking at Florida Governor Ron DeSantis running against Trump, here's another reason why, which I sort of get. Again, the idea that DeSantis is reasonable or centrist or moderate, that is ridiculous. Fight back against any attempt to frame their coming primary battle in that way. But yeah, he's a little bit more careful about who he's having dinner with at the very least. But with that said, let's turn to the other side. The response to all of this, let's jump into Joe Biden being asked about the holiday festivities. Yeah, it's a little bit hard to actually hear that, but he's asked about the thing and he says, you don't wanna know what I think about it, which is a sufficiently dark Brandon response. So that he's gonna let Trump just stew in the situation that he's created for himself. He doesn't need to jump into it, but others are. So Debbie Wasserman Schultz put out a statement saying Republicans who continue to remain silent become complicit in legitimizing bigotry and hate when the leader of their own party mainstreams fringe white nationalists and anti-Semites. Let's jump down. Liz Cheney says, first Marjorie Greene and now Donald Trump hanging around with this anti-Semitic, pro-Putin white supremacist. This isn't complicated, it's indefensible. And in case you haven't seen, yeah, she's just casually like if we go to the photo, was at his thing, his event, and then comes out of it supposedly not knowing who this was. What I will say, and I don't know if maybe this is like not what you expected my response to be. Like I see that in the news, a lot of people are really freaking out about this. And I wonder if that's sort of like an attempt to make it hit to benefit DeSantis. I'm not saying that this isn't absolutely horrendous and unacceptable. I think that it is. But you know, in comparison to like there are so many things Trump has done that I don't even remember anymore that I'm sure were just as unacceptable and insane and anti-Semitic and all of that as this. So I feel like with the media being like, oh God, this is gonna hit him and his aides flailing and everything. Like that to me just feels like an attempt to make it hit Trump harder than our own history has given us any reason to believe it's likely to. Why would his base really care about this in comparison to a million other things that he's done?
I mean, I'm gonna go a little further. I think that, look, having a dinner with Kanye West at this point in time where, you know, when he's got a lot of heat on him for obvious reasons, and we know which reasons those are. Do you have Nick Fuentes, you have a dinner with him. What it says is that the right never, ever, ever gets to say that any Democrat or any progressive or anyone who dares criticize Israel and Israeli war crimes ever gets to say that that person is anti-Semitic. Why? Because Democrats and the left and progressives are not the ones cozying up with open anti-Semites. We're not talking about a cabal that runs stuff. We're not talking about how supposedly Jews run X, Y, or Z industry. That's never been anything that we talk about, right? And yet, not just Republicans, but centrists consistently say that because the left has critiques of Israel, we're anti-Semitic. We have to drop that whole cloth. And I'm not just talking about Republicans like Kevin McCarthy, who say that Ilhan Omar, should be taken off of the Foreign Relations Committee because of, her stance around or speaking out around Palestinian human rights, whatever it is. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about even outgoing Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, right? I'm talking about folks who smell the whiff of critique of pro-Israel organizations that have thrown tons of money against progressives and suddenly say you're anti-Semitic. So I'm sorry, and it is a call out to all of us, but it is especially a call out to who do you stand with? Who do we stand with? Who are the real anti-Semites in our political stew that we've got here? We understand and we know who they are, and progressive Jewish organizations also understand that, and they've been leading the way on this. So yeah. Once again, it just underscores what we've always known about the right in this country.
Yeah, and it's sick that so many people want to draw parallels between like, hey, maybe we should rethink the military aid we're giving to a specific country's government with Jews serve Satan. They should be barred from America. These are not the same thing.
Nope.
And the people doing the both sides thing know that, but it's convenient to lump those two groups together to make rational policy-based criticisms seem completely unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we'll see. I don't see why this would have any long-term impact on Trump. Again, like I don't know that Trump will end up winning the primary if it's contested, but if he doesn't, I don't think it's going to be because of this. It'll be the accrued weight of a million things like this, perhaps.
Yes.
Anyway, for now, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we got to remember that in like less than week and a half now, we've got the runoff. So we're going to touch base with Raphael Warnock's race against Herschel Walker after this. Injustifiable says, hopefully y'all's turkeys were more moist than Marjorie Taylor Greene's. Yeah, I saw people mocking the picture of her turkey on Twitter. Although honestly, I looked at it, it didn't look that bad. I've seen some bad turkey. It didn't look great, but it didn't look as horrendous as one might have imagined she would produce. Anyway, with that said, let's turn now from Thanksgiving back to the political season, starting with this.
You ever watch a stupid movie late at night hoping it's gonna get better, don't get better, but you keep watching it anyway? Because the other night, I was watching this movie. I was watching this movie called Fright Night, Freak Night, or some type of night. But it was about vampires. I don't know if you know vampires are cool people.
What the hell is he talking about?
Is he serious? Is he for real?
But I'm gonna tell you something that I found out. A werewolf can kill a vampire. Did you know
that? What is he talking about?
I never knew that, so I didn't want to be a vampire anymore. I wanted to be a werewolf.
Oh my gosh.
He's talking about vampires and werewolves right now.
Yeah, y'all serious about this, right?
Yeah, it's serious. Herschel Walker is dead serious. This is what his candidacy is. And credit to the campaign of Raphael Warnock for coming up with a pretty original way to deal with Herschel Walker. Just play his insane quotes. Have people respond to them as each and every one of us has in real time the first time we watched it. There's more, take a look.
So I've been telling this little story about this bull out in the field.
What on earth?
And three of them are pregnant.
There's no substance, there's nothing.
So you know you got something going on.
It makes me wanna laugh, and then it makes me think we're in trouble.
But all he cared about is kept his nose against the fence, looking at three other cows that then belong to him. Now all he had to do is eat grass.
This video is ridiculous. That's 35 seconds of my life I'll never get back.
Why would I want someone like that leading the state of Georgia?
Well, in Herschel Walker's defense, he's not gonna be elected to lead the state. He's gonna be elected to do, I guess, whatever Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz tell him to do, because they're always flanking him and pulling. It's like in Ratatouille, they have a hand on the back of his head and they're pulling on little bits to make him move and say crazy things. But anyway, the amazing thing for me, Francesca, is you have lots of reasonable people watching that, and we'll have a little bit more for you in just a bit. But then there's people in the audience at his rallies and they hear that stuff and they think, yeah, no, this dude gets it. He should have political authority over important matters. What do you think?
So in Herschel Walker's defense, here's what I will say. The I want to laugh at this. I want my time back. I can't believe we're electing this. Herschel Walker didn't start that movement. Donald Trump started that movement. I mean, it arguably started even before. But Donald Trump is the perfection of Herschel Walker. But he is also a rich white guy, right? Who ostensibly is being told what to do by himself. And obviously at some point Vladimir Putin, but not anymore. But you know what I'm saying? Like Herschel Walker is much more of a puppet than Donald Trump, but they speak exactly the same. When I hear Herschel Walker speak, everyone's like, oh, he sounds really dumb. No, 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 he sounds Trumpian. He's going off on a random ass tangent. He might as well be talking about hairspray and how, you know, hair dryers don't work anymore. He could be talking about flushing toilets. He could be talking about wind turbines. It doesn't matter. It's so Trumpian. And that stuff works, right? It's a fine line between a bad stand-up set, a hack stand-up set, and a politician, a Republican politician these days. And that's exactly what Herschel is doing. It's the Trump playbook. And so I want to like be very aware that the reason I think a lot of us treat him a little differently is because he isn't a rich white guy, right? He's a like black football star who is also, yes, of course, being like completely marionetted into this race by the Republican Party, by Lindsey Graham and by Ted Cruz and others. Even though, you know, you've got McConnell who's like, oh, the quality of our candidates isn't very good. But yeah. So I guess I'm like, I of course would never vote for that. And I would never vote for him. I don't understand. I think a lot of people in Georgia wouldn't. But then, man, that's the appeal. Just talk and talk and talk. And may I say, it also kind of sounds Biden-esque, right? What about the whole oh gosh, now I'm forgetting. What is his name? What's Corn the dude Pop? He got in a fight? Corn Pop.
Corn Pop is a cool person. Did you know that a werewolf can kill a Corn Pop? So I didn't want to be a Corn Pop anymore. I wanted to be a werewolf.
If I was something, would I want to be a Corn Pop? What's greater than Corn Pop eats werewolf? Werewolf eats vampire.
Yeah, it is kind of a combination of Trump and Biden. Weirdly enough.
Yes.
But look, I know that a lot of people see these speeches by Herschel Walker and they think, my God, there's barely a brain left there. But I think that this is actually a testament to like the durability and strength, not of the human spirit, but of the human skull. Because if I had been hit in the head as many times as Herschel Walker, I probably wouldn't have summarized the movie even as well as he did. So I don't know. There's a measure of personal strength there. Anyway, there is actually more to that ad and it's just awesome. So let's run the last bit of that.
Good air decided to float over to China. Bad air.
Unbelievable.
So when China gets all good air, their bad air gotta move.
It's all the same air.
Not only does it make no sense, I don't even understand what he thinks he's saying.
So it moves over to our good air spaces. And now we gotta clean that back up.
I sit and watch these on Twitter and I'm like, what the heck is this guy talking about? Like literally, what is he talking about?
He's completely unqualified for this really, really serious job.
No one's watching this and being like, oh man, that guy's got it together.
And sometimes like I read through the comments because I'm like, is anybody actually understanding or are we just sitting here wasting time?
It is embarrassing. Let's call it what it is. It is embarrassing.
They just care about getting a yes man. Somebody that had just punched the button.
I think it's a risk to me and millions of Georgians to put this man in a position of power.
Let's call it what it is. This is embarrassing as hell.
At all. I mean, well, you know.
Embarrassing as hell. And I'm glad, by the way, that they added in this stuff about the good air, because I think it's important to make sure that people know that he is out of his mind. He has no idea what he's talking about. He has no idea what he thinks. He has no real plan. But there's almost maybe like a danger there to making the narrative of Herschel Walker out that he's a buffoon. Because while he is a buffoon, like when he talks about the bad air, it reminds you, oh, he's not just talking about like vampires. He's going to be voting yay or nay on climate change legislation. Yep. Like he isn't just a buffoon in his folksy stories. He believes insane things about policy. And even then, there's also the, he's held guns to multiple people's head side of him. Like at a certain point, the buffoon thing might be like a nice suit of armor against. No, this guy has wanted to murder people at multiple times in his life. He's a dangerous person who's abused family members. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, he's a buffoon and he talks about insane things, bulls hopping over fences. He also beats his domestic partners and has threatened to murder them, threatened to kill himself to get people to have abortions. Like, in a way, the buffoonery is better than the actual horror of who he is.
Sure, and that doesn't play in the Republican base anymore, right? They don't care. It doesn't matter. You can have as many allegations against you. You can be like accused of a bunch of stuff. They love it. They love criming, especially against your own family. That's excellent. Hell yeah, yeah. Trump, grab him by the like. Let's do it. So, but I think that more than that, I think when Warnock really shone, and I wasn't on air when actually the debate happened, but I think when he really, really shone against Walker was pointing out that Walker will just enact a corporatist agenda of the GOP, that he is just a puppet for the GOP, that he doesn't actually have policy positions. He does believe in handing more and more money from the wealthy, from the poor already, from the poor to the wealthy, right? This upward funneling, right? And like exploiting the working class even more. I think that's what he has to hammer on. And I think that's where he's gonna shine. And also the fact that he's a straight up liar. See, I think there's one thing to say, okay, so did you or didn't you do, you know, like pay for an abortion? But then the lying about it, right? That I think is where you can also get people, maybe the base that's already going to vote for him. Last thing I'll say is, you know, I watch that ad. I think it's a strategic ad. I think it's a good ad. And then you imagine all of the, like, honestly, rich white Georgians who are like, no, I like him. I like him because, you know, he loves Trump and he's Trumpian to me. He's going to do exactly what Trump will do. And he's going to give me more tax breaks, me and my companies more tax breaks. Yeah. And he'll basically just go along with the Republican Party. And that's what we need. Yay.
Well, there's evidence that that's actually the case. If we jump ahead to graphic 5. In the most recent poll, Raphael Warnock has a lead in the runoff by 4 points. It's mainly made up by the fact that he has a 24-point margin in younger voters. And by younger, I mean 18 to 49. He's got a huge lead there. Herschel Walker is ahead by 9 points among voters 50 and older.
Yeah.
It's not just that there are some older voters who want to support him. They like actively support him more than Raphael Warnock. That is absolute madness. And there was a couple different explanations for why they could come to that conclusion. None of them are good. None of them say anything good about those, that individual, the base itself, or about the state of the Republican Party. It's all really bad. It's been close to a week since we found out more about the family of the Colorado Springs shooter. And it was a real awakening for a lot of people seeing the environment that this kid had been raised in. We're gonna show you the dad there. We can't show you the actual footage because unfortunately it was on local news. But Aaron Brink is the father of the person who killed 5 individuals at Club Q. And when he was interviewed about his reaction to that news, he said, they started telling me about the incident, a shooting. And then I go on to find out it's a gay bar. I got scared. Blank, is he gay? And he's not gay, so I said, phew, I am a conservative Republican. He also mentions being a Mormon. I praised him for violent behavior really early. I told him it works, you'll get immediate results, which is just truly deranged, truly deranged. And you know, there's a lot that obviously we need to find out about the motivation for the actual attack. But it kind of feels like that's not a coincidence, that that's probably attached to this person lashing out in this murderous way. Now, to be fair, I guess, and this is often left in coverage of that interview, he does eventually say, there's no excuse for going and killing people. If you're killing people, there's something wrong. It's not the answer. And he went on to say, I'm so sorry for your loss, for whatever that's worth. But everything else that has been quoted, he did say that he appeared more concerned with the possibility of that his murderous son might have a certain orientation rather than the fact that he just killed people, and wanted to make sure that the interviewer knew that he was the one who encouraged them to lash out with violence to achieve their ends. So Look, I know it's been a good number of days. We don't normally cover news after this period, Francesca, but it's just too much. Felt like we had to say something. What do you think?
I mean, I watched the video, and if you guys have, the dad is not well. Like, he is absolutely not well, both mentally and politically, right? And it is a fine line between the Republican ideology and an ideology of hate, an ideology of I'm glad my son isn't gay, and mental illness, right? Like, racism is also a form of mental illness. It could be argued. It also is just a disgusting ideology that people walk into completely sober and lucid. This guy, I don't think was and is not. And so watching him speak and then knowing a little bit about the parents, meaning not just him, but his wife, the mother of the shooter, you're like, yeah, man. This is why we need reproductive health care and reproductive rights, and people need to make their decisions about whether they're gonna raise children with eyes wide open. Yes, I said it. The main goal when you're a parent, you're like, I just don't wanna raise a mass shooter. That's it. That's pretty much it. You're like, I'm gonna love this kid and try to provide for it enough and try to love it enough so it won't be a mass shooter. Yay, that is, you know, it's a low bar in America, but here we are in a country littered with guns, not enough healthcare, not enough mental health care. And then again, like, I'm not saying I have, there's a difference. I'm not saying I have empathy for this gunman, but I understand he is the product of an incredibly broken home. And no, it's not because like, they're Democrats who taught him that he could be any gender he wanted, and they loved him too hard, and they let him wear what he wanted to school, and they let him be her, and they no, this is his dad. This is his dad who says, I taught him about violence to get what he wants, and I'm so glad he's not gay. So sit and think about that, Republicans, and they won't, but I hope they do.
Yeah, it's possible. I don't know that, I guess, he could have rejected what his father told him and then went off and independently came to the conclusion that he needed to kill a bunch of people at a gay club, I guess. But we do know that he was raised in a society, and in a household that told him, we don't do gay and you should be violent. It's how you get results. I mean, look, that father, it takes about 2 seconds of watching that interview for me to know that I never want to stand even remotely close to this person. He's out of his damn mind. But is it that different than the overall message that many people in America are sending? They may not be quite as explicitly violent, but they don't do gay either. I mean, some of those prominent politicians in our country, that's the message they're sending, that there is something suspect, suspicious, to be feared of people in this community. And look, his response, the dad's response to the shooting immediately was pretty bad. But was it that much worse than basically every right-wing politician and pundit? How many of them even bothered to do the thoughts and prayers thing this time? I mean, people like Tim Pool were actively saying, this is what you get. We told you guys not to do drag shows and you did drag shows, so what are you gonna do?
Yeah, and I can see some people in the comments also bringing up this father's history of drug addiction and abuse, it's something that the right never actually in good faith wants to talk about. They only want to talk about the opioid epidemic when Halloween is coming around and suddenly rainbow fentanyl is everywhere. I don't know, do you guys enjoy that rainbow fentanyl? I know we didn't talk about it. It was amazing. No, my neighbor gives out the best rainbow fent. No, but they either want to talk about it when it's Halloween or when it only affects white people. Do they do anything about it? Do we reorganize our budget to help people recovering from addiction? Do we reorganize our budget to actually provide services for folks? No, not at all. Zero. Like, so shut up. You guys actually don't care. We're the ones who have empathy for someone like this. We're the ones who actually want to solve things like the massive opioid epidemic, right? Because we actually want to hold corporations accountable for the stuff that they've been flooding into our communities, right?
Yeah. And of course, there's been multiple mass shootings even since that one. apparently this has been the deadliest year for mass shootings. So once again, we're number one. We're setting records for mass gun violence. And what do we expect to come from this? Solutions wise, nothing as of right now. Okay, well, we're gonna take another break. When we come back, we're gonna address what the police have been up to, specifically in Buffalo. Oh geez, we'll be back in just a few. Okay, let's jump right into it because time is a-wastin'. A police department in Buffalo is facing a $15 million lawsuit after three black employees at the department say that one of the captains went on racist rants against black males. And in those rants covered pretty much all of the sort of stereotypes and slurs that you'd expect. But first, the lawsuit is coming from two veteran officers, Brandon Hawkins, Caitlin Bolden, along with Erica Seymour, a mental health clinician with the department. They allege that police captain Amber Bayer allegedly went on a tirade of prejudicial and racist comments in front of a room of officers and clinicians. So apparently felt very comfortable doing this very much in public. So here's an example of some of the things that happened. Back on May 2nd, an officer apparently showed Bayer a viral video of an incident where two white officers in a different jurisdiction pulled over a black officer. After watching the video, she went on a 20-minute rant, which would be long even for Cenk. Jeez. In that, she said that black men cheat on their wives more than white men. And if you're wondering what that has to do with the video she just watched, she just had to say it. Also said that she would be suspicious of a black man if she saw him in her neighborhood, a predominantly white exurb of Buffalo. She added that white officers get post-traumatic syndrome from working in predominantly black neighborhoods, but that's not an issue for black officers because black people are used to violence and commit more of it than white people. That is a lot of ground to cover in one racist rant. And to do that, not only as a police officer, but as a leader of cops, surrounded by a crowd of other cops and mental health clinicians, that is the F around stage. We're gonna see if the find out stage delivers $15 million in damages. But Francesca, what do you think?
That's good. Like, I mean, the problem is that like, who's gonna pay for those damages, right? Yeah. Is the city of Buffalo going to pay, right? This is a city that not so long ago suffered a mass shooting at the hands of a racist in a store predominantly frequented by black black patrons, right?
Patrons, yeah.
Like it just, and then this is their police. So like when you're in that, you're in Top Supermarket, there's a mass shooting, you make a phone call to the police. This is who you're calling. You're calling the very people who protect you harbor the same racist ideologies that that mass shooter had.
Yeah.
So this is when people say, don't call the police, defund the police. Number one, understand that like, understand who might be calling them, right? Understand that like for black Americans in this country, calling the police, it only endangers yourself further, right? Because you understand that they harbor these kinds of beliefs.
Yeah.
So I just like, hasn't the city been through enough? And if the damages hold and they're forced to pay, who pays? Taxpayers of Buffalo?
I guess unfortunately it will be. Like it feels on its face like this racist police captain is doing more to defund the police than most politicians would be willing to do. But yeah, in the end, they're probably just gonna be given more money to make up for it, and it's gonna be coming from us anyway. But
right.
Yeah, like to know that cops, people who have so much responsibility and at the same time so much power, will be burdened by the exact same sorts of suspicions and hatreds and fears as everyone else is bad enough. It shouldn't be surprising, but there it is. But that beyond that, that they would feel comfortable shouting it to a room of peers. Like not just that they have those thoughts and might act on those thoughts, but they feel comfortable in a leadership position in a time when everyone has video cameras in their pocket that they would feel comfortable saying that says a lot about police culture, that it would get to this point. Now, thankfully, in this case, you have some officers willing to point it out and probably will be ostracized from the community for the rest of their careers, which will be brief now. But it is good that they're doing that and making sure that we know what's going on behind these closed doors.
Yeah, and it happens all the time. I mean, over in LA, right? Also something that happened while I was gone. You've got the city councilwoman, yeah, Nuri Martinez, openly, just the amount of racism coming out of her mouth in behind closed doors with other city council members. People in power are, yeah, racist as hell. And it's more than just bigotry, right? It's bigotry with power. And that is what racism is. It's structural racism for folks who need to understand that difference. It's not just a I don't like blank group of people. It is I don't like blank group of people and I am in a position of power to directly impact their lives. I have arrested them. I have thrown them in jail for no reason. I have stopped them for a broken taillight and then, you know, beaten the living daylights out of them. This is all part of it. I'm in a position of power in a city council. So man, the stuff that happens. And yeah, you know, we're in a body cam era, right?
Yeah.
That hasn't stopped racist cops from continuing to disproportionately brutalize Black Americans.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Would have been great to have a recording like with that city council. But anyway, yeah, as of right now, she's still with the department. We'll keep you updated as the lawsuit proceeds. Unfortunately, we're running very low on time. So, you know, it's difficult enough traveling in the Thanksgiving season without coming across a menace. And that's what we've got for you now. That was the scene over the holiday weekend at a gate at a Seattle airport. An individual who's since been identified as Nicholas Letney quickly arrested, thankfully, for yelling racist doesn't really seem to cover it remarks while waiting for an American Airlines flight to Dallas to board. In that, you can see him doing the Nazi salute and yelling Sieg Heil and yelling race war, which I guess is a war cry or something. He also said at some point, you go to the gas chamber. Jews got what they deserved. You're an effing alien, an alien and a reptilian. So, you know, racist, anti-Semitic, believes all of the insane conspiracy theories. Has in fact put comments on line about how Alex Jones is his hero and that, you know, bears out in the commentary. But again, that's a thing that someone felt comfortable doing in a crowded gate at an airport and felt like that was the scene that they needed to make. And maybe it's just because of the more cameras. I cannot say for sure, but it really does feel like this sort of thing is becoming more common. Francesca, what do you think?
And we'd like to welcome all of our Nazi flyers seated in row. Oh, wait a minute, you're not allowed on the plane. Like what?
Ever again, probably.
Ever again. Goodbye. Sir, this is gate D10, all right? You mean gate SS 1942. What are you doing? Just look, you like, okay, it's scary and ridiculous. And I'm like, there is part of me that's like, well, what happened before? What did happen before? Are we just outbursting randomly? What's going on? But I think the embarrassment, I hope he feels for doing that in public and just being like, nah, bro, no, we're done.
Seem embarrassed.
You lost multiple times.
Yeah.
So. Not here. Race war, not today.
That's the superior race right there.
Just yep.
Having a hissy fit in front of a bunch of people who will eventually transition to pitying him after briefly probably being terrified that he was about to blow up the gate. So that's the scary part of this. But anyway, thankfully he was arrested. May God have mercy on all of our souls. Anyway, that is unfortunately all the time we have for the first hour of the show. But the aftermath is coming up. We've got more. Francesca. We've got more insane news. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.